Our month of September is quickly moving along as we invite you to now join the Sunday morning radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois, for this Sunday, September 20th, 2020. Lots of 20s today. Please listen to Morena Mitchell on our sanctuary baby grand piano as she brings us into worship with our prelude. Please pray with me this morning. God, who sent Jesus into the world to live and die and be raised from the dead for all of our sins, the Jesus who taught us to live in the trust of you and not in the frustrations of life, guide and direct our worship these next few minutes. May your Spirit open our hearts and minds and souls to hear your word, engage in prayer, be nourished by music, and bring glory to you this day. Amen. The TPC Praise Team brings to worship today a new praise song for us, which we recently did for our congregational worship. It's an older contemporary song written in 1989 and first performed by the Maranatha Singers, but it was one we just recently practiced. The song is led by one of our vocalists, Don Hollis. Please let the Spirit move you on the song, Come and See. Today we look at a story found in the Old Testament book of Exodus. This is the second book of which we call the Pentateuch, with Genesis being the first. The book gets its title from the fact that it chronicles the Hebrew people as they finally left their horrible situation in Egypt and headed to the Promised Land, the place where God would give them new land and form a new nation there, Exodus. Our story takes place while they're on that journey. Please listen now to the words of God from Exodus 16, 1 through 8 from the NIV. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you will go, you will know that the Lord, that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses said. "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want into the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." These are the words of God for the people of God. Let us say together, thanks be to God. In the days of the Old Testament, as they moved across the desert and towards the Promised Land, the Hebrew people would stop and set up a tent to worship God. They called the tent a tabernacle. Robert Grant was born in India and eventually earned a law degree and was the leader in India, becoming the governor of Bombay. He was raised in the church and appreciated the writings, particularly in Psalm 104, which he used to write the words to this hymn, which our TPC choir now leads us in. The title is, "O Worship the King."
Lord, tell us.
Please pray with me. Lord, may the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. There's a story told about a person who sat down at a restaurant and ordered a meal. After the meal was over, the manager came up and asked the person how it was. The person said, "Pretty good, but you only gave me one piece of bread." The next time the person came into the restaurant and ordered, the manager told the cooks, "Give them two pieces of bread." After the meal, the manager asked how it was, and the person said, "Pretty good, but this time you only gave me two pieces of bread." The person came in a third time, and the manager ordered the kitchen to give him four pieces of bread. After the meal, the same question, and the person said, "Pretty good, but you only gave me four pieces of bread." The manager was pretty frustrated with all this complaining. So the next time the person came in, the manager told the kitchen crew to bake an entire loaf of bread and not to slice it, but serve the entire loaf to the person. And that's what they did. The manager went up after the meal and said, "Well, how was the meal this time?" The person answered, "Pretty good, but I see that you're back to giving me one piece of bread." Some people just like to complain and can never be satisfied. Former football coach Chuck Mills had a distinguished coaching career and was for a time the head coach at Wake Forest, and he made this observation. "It's amazing people sitting 40 rows away from the field can yell out instructions on how a player is supposed to run a route, and when that 19-year-old doesn't do it, they yell how stupid he is. But when they walk out on the parking lot after the game, they can't remember where they parked their car that's 40 feet away." The world is full of grumbly people, and those people seem to sometimes make it into the church. Our lesson for today comes from some people who were grumbling about things to Moses several thousand years ago. I'm glad grumbling about stuff is nothing new. In our reading, the people are grumbling because they do not have any food. Now, mind you, they have been on a journey to the Promised Land for some time, and they have seen with their own eyes all the miracles God has done in their very presence. And why would they not think that if they were running low on food, God would certainly provide? But they decide to do something very human. They grumble. In their grumbling, they use the classic line to Moses and Aaron, "You know, it's all your fault, and we'd have been better off staying in Egypt. At least we had food there." Of course, remember, for generations the people pleaded with God to send someone to lead them from the horrible place they were as slaves in Egypt. They forgot how they prayed night and day that God would show them a place of promise. They forgot how excited they were when Moses stepped up and took on Pharaoh and finally convinced him to let them go. And most of all, they had forgotten how God was with them during the day and during the night as they made this trek to the new place. They seem to have forgotten all of this, and it appears they were complaining just for the sake of complaining. And it is often the case that those who really have the least to complain about wind up with the biggest complaints. Boston College is one of the most expensive private colleges, with a complete cost for a student of over $60,000 per year. Most of the students come from very wealthy families who pretty much write a single check to pay for the whole school year. The housing units are exceptional, very modern, expensive amenities. The food is prepared by world-class chefs. The faculty comes with the understanding, with outstanding credentials. It is the best of the best. But the vice president for residential life reports that year after year, the biggest complaint from the students is that they cannot all park in the spot closest to the dorm entrance door. Some students even spend an entire year complaining with phone calls, emails, and meetings with the administration over their parking spaces. Everything's being given to them, and they're complaining about parking spaces. In the church, we have people who like to complain. Now, getting input from people of the church is always a good way to get a variety of ideas and determine what is really the best. But there is a difference between getting input from someone who really cares about the work of the church and the kingdom of God, and in the here and now, versus the person who likes to just keep complaining about things. When the people began to complain to Moses and Aaron in our story today, you can almost feel that they were rolling their eyes with the thought, here we go again. But as the story unfolds, God does hear their complaining and does provide. And the rest of the chapter details that God sent quail and manna, the food from heaven, and it fed them for the rest of the time in their wilderness. In fact, if we look at the whole story in Exodus 15, 16, and 17, the complaint about food was really their second of three complaints. The first one was about water being too bitter, and the last one was not having enough water at all. And in all three cases, God heard their complaint and provided for them. When we who call ourselves Christians spend our time grumbling about everything, we really present two problems. First, we've decided to stop reflecting on everything good that God has provided. And second, we've decided that for some reason, God's going to stop providing. In the Exodus story for the Hebrew people, there was one quite common underlying theme. That is that the people kept forgetting all that God had done for them. Perhaps the Exodus journey, with its twists and turns, with its moments of frustration, with all the doubts the people kept engaging in, with all their complaining, perhaps God was trying to get them to understand that when God agrees to be in a relationship with us, God will provide and God will continue to provide. The Exodus story was God engaging the people in their present reality, but it's also in the Word of God as a collection of stories to reassure us that this same God is with us in our present reality, and the same God solidifies our relationship through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. And perhaps our walk in faith should be one filled with experiencing the presence of that God instead of complaining about what we think may or may not happen. Here's one final story. Many years ago, there was a bishop in the United Brethren Church who went by the name of Bishop Melton. He and his wife had seven children. Two of his sons would be named after two famous preachers of the day. Bishop Melton made it a point to teach all of his children the Word of God, and he and his wife raised them in the Christian faith and taught them the importance of church and serving Christ in the world. He also taught them two important things. God will provide, so always trust God. Having a large family and trying to provide on the salary of a minister in those days was exceedingly difficult, but Bishop Melton also taught his children that it did no good to complain, but rather to trust God. He even went as far to teach his children that when you were complaining about everything, you were really saying to God, I don't trust that you're in control of anything. Now, as a bishop, he was moved. In fact, his two sons were growing up in a family that moved 12 times. His sons struggled in their early years. One was constantly in trouble and at the principal's office. The other one actually got expelled from school for a time being. Once they completed high school, in fact, one of the sons never got a diploma, and the other one dropped out in their junior year. But as the sons became young men, what their father had taught them about their faith and about trusting God and not complaining finally matured. They both began a walk of faith, and they both went into business together, working on a variety of machines. At the same time, several inventors were working on an idea, but it had not yet come to completion until these two brothers, who had learned not to complain, but rather trust, began to work on a solution to a problem. They found the solution to the inventor's problem, and on December 17th, they proved they were right, literally. You see, Bishop Melton was Bishop Melton Wright, and his two sons were named after two preachers, Orville and Wilbur. And what they did on December 17th, 1903, was the first ever powered airplane flight. Their accomplishment of three-dimensional flight control is basically still used in the aviation industry today. According to their notes, they faced many setbacks and failures along the way. There were many opportunities for them to complain. In fact, a prototype glider they worked on crashed immediately after launch, and the local newspaper had this for a headline: Another Wright brothers failure. If man were meant to fly, God would have given them wings. They could have complained all their life, but instead they walked in faith and trusted God. And what they accomplished 117 years ago, because they did not give in to complaining, brought to us the age today where, even before COVID, there were over 101,000 flights each day around the world, and in the U.S. alone, over 2.4 million people flew each day. I suppose in the church we have a lot to complain about. Perhaps instead of being quick to complain, we should think about how God has been present and working in our lives, and how the promise is for God to continue to work in our lives. Perhaps when we want to just sit around and complain, maybe it's time for us to ask God to help to use us to accomplish God's work in the church and in the world. Perhaps the lesson from Exodus for us is to expend our energy not on complaining, but on serving and asking God to walk with us in faith and address our concerns, because those really are important to the work of the church as we have faith in God. May it be so for our lives today and tomorrow. Amen and amen. Our next congregational song came about from a collaborative work of Katie Hankey, a wealthy English leader in the anti-slavery movement, who also taught Bible classes and spent time visiting many sick people at a London hospital, and William Fisher, who wrote music with another leader of his time, Ira Sankey. In 1876, he directed a 1,000-voice choir for the Dwight Moody Revivals. Please join our TPC choir under the direction of Jeff Prince in this well-known song, I Love to Tell the Story.
Yeah.
You have been listening to the Sunday morning worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. We broadcast each week on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. Thank you so much for listening to our show. As we enter the final months of 2020, we have been looking at our church's finances, and while our expenses are down from being closed physically for several months, our giving is also down a bit. I just want to encourage our listeners, if you're a regular contributor to the ministry of Third Presbyterian, please keep sending us your contributions and either bring them to worship if you come for our in-person worship each Sunday at 10:15, or mail them to the church office. You can also support our ministry with an online contribution by going to our website, third-presbyterian.org, and scrolling down to the bottom of the home page and click on the contribute button. All contributions, whether by check or by online, are kept confidential. If you have any questions or comments about our church or have a question directly to me, feel free to email me at pastorofTPC@att.net. Please join me in prayer. Lord, as humans, we know we will have disagreements, and we know that sometimes we will not like something that's going on in our lives or in the work of the church. But in life and in the work of the church, we should be about the business of walking in faith and trusting you. When we just grumble, particularly in the church, we're grumbling, as Moses pointed out to the Hebrew people, against God. And when we keep doing that, we stop walking in faith that God is ultimately in control. Help us to offer suggestions without grumbling. But more importantly, help us to roll up our sleeves and join in the mission of the church so we can be about the work of your church. Help us see often the ways you provide for us over and over again, and help us to celebrate all you are and all you do, especially in the work of your Son Jesus, who died for our sins, that in life and death and resurrection we can find life abundant and life eternal. Our Praise Team a cappella group sends us out this morning with their version of a song written by Allison Krauss, a bluegrass artist with a beautiful southern voice and a tremendous ability to play the violin. The song is titled, Down to the River to Pray. Thank you. May we go this next week and work for the gospel message to be shared with all the world. May we pray and support the work of your church, O Lord, and may we be faithful as disciples that we may be blessed and be a blessing to others. Amen. Wow, another Sunday worship has come and gone. Thanks to our music leaders, the TPC Choir under the direction of Jeff Prince, the TPC Praise Team, Morena Mitchell on the piano. Thanks to our production crew assistants, Braden and Faith Prince, our production engineer, Seth Hood, and Matt Miller, who handles all of our post-production work. All of these folks give of their time and talent to help lead our radio audience in worship. Thank you again for listening. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor of Third Presbyterian. Have a great week, and remember, stay safe out there.